This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy to take your calls or texts at 855-752-4842. We're talking about Kamala Harris's chances, your reaction to the DNC, your reaction to her speech last night, and also the possibility of electing folks here in Wisconsin. I was delighted to have Tara Johnson on in the last half hour, and I'm delighted this half hour to have Christian Phelps on. He's running for the 93rd Assembly. That's a district from Osseo up to Eau Claire and then west halfway to the Mississippi. Christian Phelps, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for inviting me. And I have to say, I'm kind of chasing Tara around. This is like not the first time in the past week that I've been directly after her on a radio slot. So,
well, I'm glad you and she are getting the attention you deserve. You know, I know you as the comms guy over at Wisconsin Public Education Network, where you've been doing a great job for several years. Why did you decide to take the plunge into politics?
Oh, because, you know, I never really wanted to, but I mean, I've known that the governance we've gotten in Wisconsin for a really long time has been so directly oppositional to what we actually want, need, and deserve in our communities. And so I've known that emotionally, you know, as an individual and as an advocate for myself and my community members. And then in that role at Wisconsin Public Education Network, where I've been communications director, I've really seen the policy side of it. And I've seen how the legislature in Madison that's been gerrymandered to advantage the Republicans for so long has almost 100% of the time been the obstacle and the problem. And so why make this change? Well, because when I saw how different the 93rd looks than how it used to look and how it really should have looked like this all along in the Chippewa Valley, where we have small cities like Eau Claire nestled into large rural communities, you know, our districts should include both urban and rural, and now this one does. We've waited a really long time for this, and this one in particular includes UW-Eau Claire, includes Chippewa Valley Technical College. It is the youngest and most progressive district in the Chippewa Valley in the new maps. And I just saw that and I was like, you know, if we don't take that opportunity for what it is and put somebody with like real policy plans and real communications experience and a lot of energy and who represents a new generation, ideally, we're going to regret it. And so I was like, I guess I don't want to have any regrets. So here we are.
Well, more power to you. And I like this focus on the younger voter. Especially because of the campuses that you just mentioned, but also I got a theory. And the theory is that there are a lot of unregistered voters who are going to register for the first time. And unlike when Trump got elected, those unregistered voters are actually going to be Democratic voters, that Kamala Harris is going to get a lot of first-time voters. And the really good news is they aren't counted in the polls, because pollsters only count likely voters or registered voters. So if you've never voted before, you're invisible to the pollsters. And I just think there's going to be a wave of new Kamala Harris voters and I think Democratic voters up and down the ticket that should help you, Christian. What do you think about that theory?
I think you're right. And I think, you know, I've always had some issues with like the way that pollsters and corporate media portray Wisconsin in the national political landscape, Western Wisconsin in the statewide political landscape. I think that they miss a lot of what you just described. Like, I was born and raised here in Eau Claire, and that's where I live. And, you know, we have really progressive traditions in the foundation of who we are. We have Eau Claire's a very fast-growing city. We have a very multi-generational community here. Rural voters, you know, spoiler alert, what they want is great schools and hospitals. They're not so different from urban voters who also want great schools and hospitals. You know, like, I think there's a real untapped energy that like corporate media and sort of establishment politics often miss. And I have the same theory that you do, that this year is going to be a big year when people learn that we have an opportunity to flip the state assembly, that we have like this sort of page turning going on as far as which generation is in the driver's seat locally, statewide, and nationally. Like that's going to turn out new voters that share our values that we've been living with all along in Wisconsin and here in Western Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, the media, you know, they, you know, rural areas are automatically red areas. And it's just not true. It's not true here in Wisconsin in many parts.
No.
And also the idea that there are red areas or blue areas, for that matter,
right,
is a misnomer, because there are, even in Dane County, where I live, you know, there are Trump supporters. There are Trump supporters in the little subdivision, yeah, I'm living in. And yeah, even in the reddest county in Wisconsin, there are a lot of people on the Democratic side and the progressive side that are doing really good work door to door. And I, by the way, I hear you just knocked on a ton of doors in your primary, which you won by all of what, 313 votes or something?
Yeah, I you know, we don't poll at this level, but I tend to think that all those door knocks probably flipped those or turned out those 300 votes that I won the primary by. And it was a really heartening primary process. Like we had a positive primary, nothing got nasty. The voter turnout exceeded like both campaigns and all the experts' expectations. I think that we've really drawn interest because, you know, the 93rd is one of the best pickup opportunities in the whole state for Democrats. And it's really kind of indicative of the opportunity that we could have with these new legislative maps. And when people learn about that, they really start to see a light at the end of this tunnel we've been living in for 14 years. And I think that you know, I just keep thinking about what kind of voter I am and have always been, and like, what kind of candidate do I want to see when I am that kind of voter? I always want the candidate that's just like shows up and is willing to work really hard at weird times and talk to me directly and be themselves. And so like when I agonized over whether to do this and couldn't decide, like when I ultimately decided to do it was when I gave myself permission to be that kind of candidate, you know?
And when you knock on the doors, you know, and people hear your voice and see how young you look, do they ever say, holy smokes, are you even young enough to hold office? Or do you get that kind of reaction? Or are people just encouraged that there's, you know, someone new who cares about your area and cares about the issues? What's your reaction at the doors?
The reaction overall has been super positive in every way. Most people don't have a comment on my age. I appreciate the opportunity to tell everybody that I am 30, and I know I look younger than that. But that does come up sometimes. Most of the time, it's a positive. You know, I think that like especially before Biden dropped out, there was a lot of hand wringing and nervousness about, you know, have we waited too long? Like, have we like missed the opportunity to have a new generation of leaders? And so people are excited to have that opportunity. And for the most part, what voters are looking for is somebody who as closely as possible matches their values, somebody who they can trust to, you know, be a competent legislator, and somebody with enough integrity and honesty to, you know, always explain, why they've done what they've done in the legislature and be open-minded enough to changing if they need to change. So, age notwithstanding, that is what people are looking for.
I'm speaking with Christian Phelps. I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I went to your website and saw some of the issues you're highlighting, and one of them was legalizing marijuana. I think that's a winning issue, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering why more Democrats aren't making a lot of noise about that issue. How is your articulation of that issue going over?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, I mean, it's not like my number one priority, but it is something that like I join, and you know very well from your work with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Fair Maps Coalition and everybody like that. I think it's something like 64-65% of Wisconsinites support legalizing marijuana right now. Like it's kind of a perfect simplified example of where gerrymandering has been the problem. Like, these things that are so widely popular in a partisan world, it's hard to find things that have over 60% support, but there are some. This is one of them, and it's a simple one to understand. Only gerrymandering could explain why it hasn't become a reality yet. And when I talk about it, I typically talk about it as a criminal justice issue, because that's how I see it. You know, recreational use is not the priority here. It's, you know, it breaks my heart that families, obviously along racial lines and class lines for the most part, continue to be sort of stopped in their potential, broken up, people thrown in prison, jail, you know, kids who can't get a great apartment because their parents still have something on their record for marijuana use or possession. And you know, that kind of thing just makes no sense to me. And so, you know, and I have a hard time finding people who think, yeah, it's really great that there would be kids who are separated from their parents or can't live in a great apartment because of this conviction. And so I'm a big believer in just changing the criminal justice system. And this seems like a very simple and popular place to start.
Christian Phelps, you've mentioned schools, hospitals, criminal justice reform, now marijuana as a side of that. Are there is there another issue or two that you feel strongly about?
Of course. Affordable housing is a big one, you know, in these fast growing regions like the Chippewa Valley and the Eau Claire area in Wisconsin. There has been a skyrocketing in the cost of housing. I think it's another good argument for electing more millennials. You know, I come from the generation that's having to wait a lot longer than our parents or grandparents had to wait in order to be able to afford a house. I'm sitting in my rented apartment right now, you know, doing the same work is resulting in no ability to save up and keep up with the cost of housing. And that's coming up a lot. I think that, you know, the state that has reduced regulation on landlords and has not shared enough revenue with municipalities so that they can work with some of the great housing organizations and agencies that live locally and address homelessness better. The state has a responsibility that it hasn't been living up to on that issue. And I think a lot of the economic concerns that people are feeling right now, including myself, are felt most harshly on housing. And so in addition to public education and addressing the healthcare crisis we have in the Chippewa Valley with the hospital closures, I'd say affordable housing is coming up a lot, and I totally understand why.
Christian Phelps, if someone wants to get involved in your campaign or send you a donation, how do they do that?
Super easy. Phelpscampaign.com is the website. The donate button is there. You can email us at contact@phelpscampaign.com. We're going to keep with this boots on the ground, grassroots campaigning style that won us the primary. It's going to drive voter turnout in the general election. If you can get involved in that in any way, it will honestly make a difference. You saw how many votes we were able to turn out in the summer, and we're going to just like double, triple, quadruple that for the fall.
Christian Phelps, thanks so much for being my guest in the Maggie Dawn Show, and we'll be right back.
Oops, Spurs, to the flow now.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off today, so it's been fun for me to be able to sit behind the mic and take your calls and interview these great candidates that the Democrats have here in Wisconsin to regain control of the legislature and also win a seat or two in Congress. I've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up at 3:30, 3:35. Can't wait to talk to her. If you want to call in at 855-752-4842 and let me know what your reaction was to Kamala Harris's great speech last night or to anything concerning the Democratic National Convention, who you thought was best, if anything bothered you, why did it bother you? Happy to take your call. Happy to take your text. One thing that I appreciated was every night there were Republicans on, and we heard from Adam Kinzinger earlier. Yes, but I also was really taken by the former Trump White House press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, whose statement kind of got buried on Tuesday night or Monday night, whenever it was, because she spoke early. And she really had an important insight about Donald Trump's character that I want to share with our listeners, if you can roll that.
Absolutely.
I wasn't just a Trump supporter. I was a true believer. I was one of his closest advisors. The Trump family became my family. I spent Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's all at Mar-a-Lago. I saw him when the cameras were off. Behind closed doors, Trump mocks his supporters. He calls them basement dwellers. On a hospital visit one time when people were dying in the ICU, he was mad that the cameras were not watching him. He has no empathy, no morals, and no fidelity to the truth. He used to tell me, "It doesn't matter what you say, Stephanie. Say it enough and people will believe you." But it does matter. What you says matter, and what you don't say matters. On January 6th, I asked Melania if we could at least tweet that while peaceful protest is the right of every American, there's no place for lawlessness or violence. She replied with one word, no. I became the first senior staffer to resign that day. I couldn't be part of the insanity any longer. When I was press secretary, I got skewered for never holding a White House briefing. It's because, unlike my boss, I never wanted to stand at that podium and lie. Now here I am, behind a podium, advocating for a Democrat. And that's because I love my country more than my party. Kamala Harris tells the truth, she respects the American people, and she has my vote. Thank you.
So that was White House Press Secretary under Donald Trump, Stephanie Grisham, country over party.
Yeah.
Adam Kinzinger said the same thing. I liked her insights on Trump. Trump mocks his supporters. Trump mocks everybody.
Trump mocks absolutely everyone.
I mean,
the only one he can't stand any mockery of is himself.
I know. And so he must have hated the convention because of the Obamas Kinzinger, Stephanie Grisham. They all just totally nailed him. And also, you know, was it Jeffries who was saying he was like the boyfriend who, you know, can't say, you know, we broke up with him before. Why do we want to be with you again? So, you know, there was that, you know, this stressing of the fact that Trump has no empathy and no morals. I mean, we know that about Trump. We know that he's a pathological narcissist, but it was kind of eerie and fascinating and scary to hear it from someone who saw him so up close, and personal. And the other thing about what she said, there was the hideous echo of Joseph Goebbels.
Yes.
When she said, Trump says it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, say it enough and people will believe you. Well, that's straight out of Joseph Goebbels's playbook. Joseph Goebbels, of course, the propagandist for Adolf Hitler.
Right, who created the Ministry for Truth and Enlightenment propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, he was the propaganda minister. And that, you know, so we know he's got no empathy, no morals, doesn't care about the truth, and is perfectly willing to tell his staff to lie and keep lying and keep lying because people are going to finally believe it. I mean, that's what he did when he said the election was rigged. That's why he kept saying it. He didn't care whether it was true or false, demonstrably false. He just kept saying it over and over again. And amazingly, I mean, he was right. A whole bunch of people believed it and still believe it, which is shocking to me.
Because the part that was important and that became important was, well, people have doubts. Well, of course, people have doubts. You've been screaming that the election was stolen. You said it so many times that it became true in part.
And then a lot of Republicans who were carrying on about the so-called rigged election just use that as an excuse. Well, a lot of my constituents have doubts about the election. Well, of course they do. They've been told it from on top. And so that's what we got with Donald Trump. I mean, the choice really this time around couldn't be clearer, as Adam Kinzinger pointed out. We have a liar. We have a narcissist. We have a pathological, selfish, callous person who mocks everybody, including people who are disabled, at the top, who's running on a pledge to become dictator on day one and even disregard the Constitution, who would be empowered by the U.S. Supreme Court in its outrageous decision on presidential immunity to do just about whatever he wanted with the military, and with the Justice Department, with the FBI, with the CIA, with the IRS, and who has said he's going to put troops on our streets. And when he was in power, he wanted the military to go out there and kneecap Black Lives Matter protesters. That's who you have on one side. And on the other side, you have Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, experienced, decent, calm, steady, capable people who share our values about democracy. And that's why it's just as clear as can be. Can we go to Cindy from Appleton real quick in our last minute or two?
Cindy, you're on.
Hey, Matt, good to hear your voice.
Thank you, Cindy.
I just want to say, I mean, the energy behind Kamala and Tim right now is great. If all these people that have packed these stadiums this last week come out to vote, I think we will be able to win. But my question is, how much is the Electoral College going to play into this? Because, I mean, we've had plenty of presidents win by popular vote but lose for the Electoral College, and I'm just wondering how that's going to play with this election.
Well, thanks, Cindy from Appleton, for that smart question. I think that's why there's just so much emphasis here in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Georgia and Nevada and Arizona, these swing states. The swing states are going to make all the difference. That's why you, as a Wisconsinite and everyone listening, you have a lot of power this time around. Make sure you use your power. Make sure you vote. Make sure you bring three or four friends to vote and family members to vote. It's a crucial time to save our democracy and move us forward. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'll be right back with Dr. Kristen Lierley, running on the 8th Congressional District ballot. Rothschild with you here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off today, so I've been substituting for her here and enjoying your conversation and my conversation with folks who are running for office. And I have here on the line with us Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's running in the 8th Congressional District up north there in the Green Bay, Door County area, all the way southwest to New London, Waupaca, and then north of Highway 29. Dr. Lierley, thanks for joining.
Matt, thanks so much for having me. I'm having this like post-DNC euphoria feeling.
Yeah, what did you like most about the DNC?
The people. It just felt so good to be surrounded by so many people who see the same future, the same vision that I have, all the things that we can do, all the possibilities, all the problems we can solve if we can work together and have the political courage to get it done.
You know, it was exhilarating to watch at home. It must have been even more exhilarating to be there.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. The balloons last night, they kept passing things to us, like those big Kamala signs and the flags. Yeah, it was unreal. I was a little disappointed about the Beyonce thing, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I kept waiting for her to come on, her and Taylor Swift. We'd heard all about it, but it didn't happen.
I know, but Pink was brilliant.
Yeah, she was great. And, I mean, her daughter had a great voice, too. That was amazing.
And you could tell just by the way they were out there together and that it meant more than just a performance to them. This was really meaningful.
Yeah, it was a nice family snapshot there, just as the Walls family snapshots have been so wonderful.
Yes, I know Tim Walz.
How do you
I've
know
worked
him?
With Tim Walz. So as a doctor who practices in Minnesota, when he passed a shield law last year, he invited me to come and speak at the signing of that law. It's a law that protects me going there to provide medicine and also for patients going to Minnesota to seek medical care. So I'm kind of the poster child for the need for that law. So I got the invite, but I had met him on a number of occasions before that. He's just a really genuine, solid human being. Everything you saw from the Walz family, that's just who they are.
You know, I've never met him, but I'm really impressed. I think Kamala Harris made a great choice in Tim Walz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Tell me how your race is going.
Matt, it's so good. We're having such a blast up here in Northeast Wisconsin, and we know that we are talking to people who haven't been talked to in ages, and we got to talk about maps because we can't, you and I can't have a conversation without talking about the new maps and what a difference that's making. But what we're hearing from people all over the place is that they too are feeling this hope. They're recognizing how consequential this election is. They're excited about the potential that we could actually start seeing some of these changes that they're just desperate for.
So explain a little bit more about how the maps are making a difference. You know, I spent a lot of time on this gerrymandering issue and actually was so thrilled when the fairer maps came true, something I didn't really think I might see. And here we are, and they're bearing fruit.
It's so incredible to see the impact that these maps have had on this region. Currently in Northeast Wisconsin, Green Bay is the third largest population center in Wisconsin. And here in the 8th Congressional District, we currently only have two Democrats representing this whole district. Of the 20 seats that are up for grabs in the fall, two Democrats currently. And that's a result of the extreme partisan gerrymandering we've been living with. Green Bay was carved up into three separate Senate districts. Green Bay only has 100,000 people. This is not a giant metropolis. So they so artfully carved up this whole region that people didn't feel like it was worth running. The gerrymander was too brisk. We couldn't break it. The representatives didn't have to represent. They never had to go out and campaign and win over people's votes. So people's voices have just not been heard. But now that we've got the new maps, we've got candidates running in seats where we haven't had Democrats running in a decade. And every single assembly seat, every single Senate seat has a candidate, a Democratic candidate running. And they're not just names on the ballot. They're people who are out doing the work. They're enthusiastic. They're connected with each other. They're having meaningful conversations. They're not just knocking on doors and saying, you know, I want you to vote for me. They're talking about the issues and they're finding that it's resonating with people. People are suffering. They don't have the dollars to put food on their table or to put gas in their car. They can't afford health care. And finally, they're feeling like there's a place, there's somebody who they can talk to. There's a way that we can make that change that we all want to see.
Speaking with Dr. Kristen Lierley, she's running in the 8th Congressional District. You're an OBGYN. I saw on your website that there are zero OBGYNs in Congress.
There are two.
There are two, Matt.
But they're anti-choice.
Oh, so there are no pro-choice OBGYNs in Congress.
That's right. I will be the first pro-choice OBGYN doctor in Congress.
So tell me when you're going to doors and someone tells you that they're really anti-abortion for religious reasons or for whatever reason. How do you deal with that?
Well, I deal with that all the time in my practice. You know, when I take care of patients, I don't impose my values on my patients. I hear what their problems are and we explore all of the options and we pick out the best solutions for them. And as they're choosing the best options for themselves, they're thinking about their beliefs, their ideologies, their values, their histories, their families, their support. So it's really no different when you're knocking on doors. You're talking about the same kinds of things. And ultimately what we all really want is the freedom to make our own personal medical decisions. And we all deserve that. Don't you think?
Yeah. You know, you remind me, I knew someone who was working in an abortion clinic in Madison many years ago. And she would tell me that she had a patient who used to be outside picketing her clinic, but then had to utilize her services and how peculiar that was. But it sounds to me like it's not that peculiar to you. You see people who may not be that strong in their anti-abortion views, but come into your office anyway.
I think when you are presented with a difficult circumstance, you need options. You need to know that you're heard and that you have someone who is not thinking about what they want for you, but thinking about what is best for you and how they can help you. So yeah, that's happened to me. I've taken care of people who are picketers and, you know, I provided care for them and they went back out on the picket line. What are you going to do? My job is to help people where they're at.
Tell me on how the Dobbs decision affected you. I saw on your website that, you know, you were driving across to Minnesota to give care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when Dobbs happened, we stopped performing all abortion care in Wisconsin because of an 1849 criminal ban. I joined the Attorney General to fight that ban. And I'm really proud to say that it's my name on the judgment that brought abortion care back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's your lawsuit.
Yeah, it's my lawsuit. But as a result of that, the anti-abortion folks have come after my medical license. They filed a complaint against my license, which was dismissed. But it's obvious that I'm a target. So I have to be careful. And there are plenty of places to practice across the country. Rural parts of this country especially are suffering from a lack of qualified medical providers. We don't have enough doctors, nurses. Heck, we don't have enough people working in the cafeteria in northern Minnesota where I'm working. So the cafeteria closes down on the weekends and patients get wrapped sandwiches. I mean, we need help. We need more people who are trained to be able to provide these services, who are working in all these different service areas, because frankly, and this is worse in rural areas, people just need help. They need services. And we don't have enough folks there to provide that kind of care.
Dr. Lyerly, when you say I'm a target, mm-hmm. how scary is the targeting?
Oh, it's scary. Yeah, I mean, you know, this doing what I'm doing doesn't come without risk. But I also know, and I'm reminded of this every time I talk with future constituents and neighbors and friends, that what I'm doing is carrying the voices and the stories of so many of my patients. And I see a lot of them when I do parades. People come running out of the crowd and give me a big hug and they show me, you know, you delivered her 6 years ago. That is so incredibly satisfying. So I know the work I'm doing, it's important, it's hard. And we've been put in a position by politicians to have to talk about these things that are hard to talk about. But if we don't talk about them, we're gonna lose everything. And I'm not just talking about abortion, we're talking about birth control. We're talking about infertility services like IVF. We've got to have these conversations because Project 2025 has very serious plans to prevent us from having access to things that we need.
Dr. Lyerly, I admire your courage a great deal. Tell me about your opponent. I'd never heard of this guy before, Tony Weed. What's he about? What's he like?
Trump endorsed Tony Weed, and I call him that because that is what it says on his yard signs. He actually leads with Trump endorsed before his name is on the yard sign. This is a fellow who is the Trump endorsed candidate, obviously. He's a former gas station owner. He inherited some gas stations from his father and ran that business for a decade or so, then sold the business after he lobbied to raise gas prices. And then he went on a vacation for a year. And when he came back, he decided that he was going to want to serve. That seemed like the thing that suddenly he wanted to do. He hadn't done any service in the past, but now he's really interested in serving. So that's where we're at with this fellow who is really just sharing all of Donald Trump's talking points. It's the border. It's drill, baby, drill. It's, you know, I mean, if it comes out of Donald Trump's mouth, it comes out of Trump-endorsed Tony Weed's mouth as well.
Yeah, I went to his website and you open it up and it's a picture of him with Trump. And then mm-hmm. one of the top three issues he has, supporting Donald Trump. That's what it is. I mean, it was just kind of hilarious. Are you going to have a debate with him?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Actually, we were just talking about how we are going to set that up. We're going to likely invite him early next week. And this is something that I think the people would be very interested in seeing. The contrast between the two of us is stark. I'm a first generation college student. I lost my parents young. I went to medical school. I've become a nationally known OBGYN doctor. I've done all of these things out of love and out of heart, and I've earned it all myself. Tony Weed inherited his business from his dad and sold it and went on vacation. So, I mean, these are two entirely different people. I've suffered. We were on food stamps when I was a kid after my dad died. Hey, I don't believe that that was the case for Tony Weed and his wealthy family. So I think the people are really looking forward to hearing more about what we care about. You know, I'm a climate champion. I have young kids, Gen Z kids, and they are keeping me abreast of all the things that they'd like to see for their future, making sure that they can buy a house and get an education, and that they, when the time is right, they can afford childcare. All of those things that we know people want. I look forward to talking with them about it.
Well, I think you'd win in a TKO in about 30 seconds, but I wish you luck at that. Dr. Lyerly, how can people help your campaign if they want to do so?
I'm so glad you asked, Matt. You can find us at KristenForWisconsin.com. That's our website. And I'm on all the socials at KristenForWisconsin.
And Kristen is spelled K-R-I-S-T-I-N. And her last name, Lyerly.
I should be specific about that, yeah.
L-Y-E-R-L-Y. But yeah, you can spell Kristen a thousand ways, but that's how you spell it. I'm going to spell it again, K-R-I-S-T-I-N. And give us the website once more.
KristenForWisconsin.com.
It'll also be in the podcast.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being on. It was a real pleasure being able to speak. I've heard you on Civic Media, a lot of other shows, and on this show, and I've never had the opportunity to speak with you directly, and it was a real pleasure. Congratulations on all your work.
Thank you, Matt. This has been a joy. Happy Friday.
There you go. TGIF. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. I'm even going to take a call from CJ. Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. It's been a thrill to talk with Dr. Lyerly, who's running in the 8th Congressional District. It's been a pleasure to talk with Christian Phelps, who's running the 93rd Assembly District, and Tara Johnson, who's been who's on the ballot there in the 96th Assembly District. I want to thank all three of my guests for being on the Maggie Dawn Show with me today, and I want to thank the callers and the texters, too. Before I forget, meantime, we got CJ on the line, and I want to talk with you, CJ. Are you there?
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and thanks for being so patient. Yeah, I can hear you. You're on the air.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Well, I've heard Dr. Lyerly speak before. I've called in. I was hoping to be able to ask her a question, but it's a pleasure hearing you on again. And, you know, I do look forward to our next gathering of talking during lunch.
Yeah, so, I'm available next week. I'm available next week, CJ. So send me a text and we'll make it work.
That sounds good. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to a lot of the other hosts. It's amazing to me that they try to claim Kamala Harris. Kamala. I'm sorry. I don't intentionally do that like someone else we might know, but Kamala Harris, she's the incumbent. She's the one that's been in the office we're living their policies for the last three and a half, four years. So to hear many of the hosts speak, and actually I think you truly are one of the most logical ones that I had the pleasure of listening to and talking to, but she's the incumbent. Like, all of a sudden now, she's not the border czar anymore. She's had the opportunity to fix these things. But the sad thing is that her and her boss, President Joe Biden, are the ones that have created a lot of these problems.
CJ, can I just jump in quick? Because I hear your point. But in a way, you make a concession in the way that you address the issue, because you said her boss. She, you know, she's vice president. She's not president. And a lot of the things she didn't have total control over. Vice president, you basically do what the president wants. And he gave her, you know, some unfortunate assignments like, you know, solving the immigration issue. That's almost impossible. And yet the Democrats, as she said last night, along with some very conservative Republicans, came up with a bill, which I thought was too harsh a bill. But anyway, they came up with a bipartisan bill that was going to address this issue of immigration. And Donald Trump's, you know, submarined it. And so I don't think that can be held her against her. But I do think what she's trying to do is kind of a delicate dance, CJ. And it gets to your question, which I think is a perfectly decent question. And the dance is, you know, to take credit for some of the things that the Biden-Harris administration did that she was involved in and agreed with, and yet to chart a new path. That's what she was talking about. She's already made some proposals that go beyond what Biden does, for instance, in going after the price gouging and giving some help to people with housing who desperately need the help. So I don't think you can hold, you know, everything against her that the Biden administration has done. By the same token, she probably doesn't deserve credit for everything that the Biden administration does that people want to say, you know, she deserves credit for. I think we need to let her, as a candidate for president, chart her own course, lay out her own vision, which she has been doing. And I thought she did a great job of it. And I just think it's a real obvious choice here. And CJ, I have a hope, and maybe it's an unfounded one, that you might come around to Kamala Harris, because you understand that January 6th was a terrible day for our democracy. And I can't believe you like a lot of the language that comes out of Trump's mouth, or the possibility that he could be, you know, dictator on day one. So I still think, you know, we're open to conversation, you and me, and we're going to take that up over lunch, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, I look forward to it, you know, but, you know, when they say you don't want to go back, I want to go back to the 1.4% inflation. I want to go back to the under $2 a gallon gas.
Right.
I want to go back where my tenants can afford to pay their rent.
Yeah,
I want to go back. So, yeah, I want to go back. You say you don't want to go back, or your party does, or your candidate does, Matt. But there are people who want to go back to his policies.
Yeah,
maybe don't like his personality. I'm never going to have a beer with him. But I tell you what, our country was safer and more prosperous with Donald Trump in office.
Well, I sure didn't feel safer or more confident with him there. He scares the bejesus out of me. But I appreciate your view. I do want to end on I just want to quote something from Oprah. You know, she talked about optimism over cynicism, inclusion over retribution, common sense over nonsense. She said, let us choose the sweet promise of tomorrow over the bitter return to yesterday. And that's kind of where I want to leave us, except that I want to say one thing of personal privilege. A very good friend of mine died recently. Her name's Leslie DeMuth. She was co-chair of the Jefferson County Dems and had a very difficult struggle with cancer. And there's a memorial for her tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Lake Mills City Hall. And I'll be going to that. I want to dedicate this show to Leslie DeMuth. Again, I want to thank all the guests. I want to thank the callers, including CJ. I want to thank Maggie Dawn for letting me be behind this microphone for the last couple hours. I want to thank Jess, who's such a tremendous engineer and producer of this show. I couldn't do it without you, Jess.
Oh, shucks.
You know, there you go. And I look forward to being on the Maggie Dawn Show again in the first week of September for a couple days. Until then, everyone take care. Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine upon.